What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another ALCS Podcast. My name is...
We are not friends for the next 9 days.
And I am the Associational Missionary for the Collin Baptist Association and one of the pastors at First Baptist Hogwarts. And I am joined, as always, by Dr. Kyle, non-alcoholic beer man, the director of something or other at the North American Mission Board. What? Go ahead. Get it right. You got a 10-word title. Go ahead.
No, not anymore. Now it's just rural specialist. Rural specialist.
Rural specialist. You shortened it.
Okay. You can remember
that
one.
I like it. Well, this is
even an Astros fan can remember that one.
I can remember that. Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. And what is it like to attend Texas Baptist College? We wouldn't know. Hey, I had to. But at TBC, you will find courses that are biblically grounded, academically rigorous, and extremely affordable. You'll also find an authentic community on campus committed to encouraging students' spiritual and academic growth, and you will be like 20 minutes from Mimic Maid Park. And the best way to discover if TBC is right for you is to come to Preview Day on October 20th, the day after I will be at Mimic Maid Park, I think. At Preview Day, you'll get to explore the campus, meet current students, and learn about the different opportunities you will find at TBC. Signing up is completely free, so register now at TBC Baptist. No, no, that's not it. Texas Baptist College. I've said TBC so much. TexasBaptistCollege.com/preview. Kyle, we are going to the ALCS.
Woo! Hey, listen. If you've been a longtime listener of this podcast, it is no surprise to you that you know I'm a Rangers fan, Matt's an Astros fan. But here's what you need to know. Unless you've been a longtime fan of these two teams, the collective history of these two teams before like the last 10 years is not just bad. It's like abysmal.
Yeah.
Like outside of the 2005 season when the Astros went to the World Series and and then got swept by the White Sox.
Yep.
The first 40 years or so of these teams' existence was awful. So the fact that we are now, they've never really been good at the same time. So the fact that they're now in the ALCS together is so much fun. And Matt, you and I are going to have a great time. I was present this past Tuesday night when the Rangers won the division series in what was the loudest environment I've ever been in a sporting event. I believe you have tickets to the ALCS. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Also, I got several Astro fans to get some too because y'all sent out like the secret code.
Yeah.
And so,
listen, the new ballpark, man, it was so loud in there. The Rangers have kind of adopted Creed for whatever reason as like their theme band for this year. So
abuse.
there was 40,000 people singing along to Higher. My word, it was so much like, listen, as a kid from the 90s and early 2000s, like the nostalgia was strong.
Can you take me higher?
Yes. Yes. It was so much fun. Man, what an experience.
Do a play. Yeah, I can't do that this
Matt,
early.
We're going to have to do like a Twitter Spaces or a Facebook Live or something.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think we can't broadcast the game. That's probably all kinds of illegal. But we could jump on and
has that ever stopped the Astros before? No,
that's true. No, it has not.
I mean, you've got it, and it's cool too. You've got built versus bought. You've got Texas versus Oklahoma. You've got Minute Maid Park versus Mimic Maid Park. It's a wonderful division. It's going to be great. Kyle, we're not talking about that today, though. You got salty real quick when I made those three comparisons, but let's talk about pastor appreciation. And for this, I just want to say, I appreciate you. And I don't have it. Well, Mama said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. So that's all I got. I just somehow generically appreciate you.
Generally generic.
So what we're going to talk about today, a Pastor Appreciation Month reminder for pastors, because Kyle, when he wrote this article like 50 years ago, back when the Rangers were irrelevant,
that's true.
you know, he titled things like old Puritan paperback novels, and let's see how many words we can get in there. I can't write a long article, but I can make a long title. Okay, so we're talking about that because this is October.
It is.
And you have a little reminder. We talked recently about enjoying it, you know, like there's all the stuff written like this. I mean, no offense. This isn't a passive aggressive comment, but you know, stuff like this about, hey, remember to na 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 na. Here's 10 gift ideas. Here's what not to buy your pastor. Yeah. Here's the wildest gifts received by pastors. All of that kind of stuff. All of that's great. But yet still, there are some things that we would like to remind you during this month of October that includes the World Series will go through Houston. But anyway, Pastor Appreciation Month reminders. Kyle, save me from saying something that's going to cancel me.
Yeah. So look, we're going to have a couple of things here for pastors who feel appreciated, and a couple of things for pastors who will not feel appreciated by their church, because we know in our audience, there's probably a decent amount of both, right? Those who will just, I mean, maybe you'll be blessed in an amazing way by your church. I mean, some who your church probably won't even mention it.
Hey, do you remember the first gift you ever got?
I think the first pastor appreciation gift I ever got was like a money tree and a love offering. So they set the bar pretty high. And
yeah. All of $50, man. No, my first one was the Matthew Henry little commentary, the little little green things. That was my first one. That was when I was at Grace Bible Fellowship, a church plant that met in a funeral home. People were dying to get there. Wah, wah, wah. So here we go. Number one, and we touched on this last week, pray for your people. Why? Why should we pray for our people, especially those that are our critics?
Well, yeah, so we see this in the example of Moses, right? I mean, Moses, the children of Israel fought Moses almost every step along the way, right? When he brought them out of Egypt and God miraculously delivered them through the Red Sea, then suddenly it became, why did you bring us out here to starve? I mean, everything they could complain about Moses and to Moses, they did. And yet we see time and time again, Moses praying for the people God had called him to lead. And so, you know, you may have some people in your church, hopefully, that are great encouragers. Pray for them. Thank God for them. Maybe you have people who are, you know, just like severe critics, and they are always criticizing something. You know, if you have 100 people in worship, well, you know, Pastor, it was a little too crowded in here this morning, right? I mean, they're going to find something to criticize. Pray for them. And no, don't pray that their car would break down on the way home from church. That's not what we're not talking about imprecatory prayers necessarily.
Kyle does not speak for me.
we pray that God would soften their hearts. Pray that he would give you patience with them, right? Pray for your folks, the ones that you love, the ones that are more difficult to love.
And if not, know that Lord, break the teeth of the wicked is still a valid prayer. But pray that God would be glorified in their life. Pray that you'll have wisdom as you shepherd the people God has entrusted you. And like Moses, that includes the gripers, the complainers, the critics too.
Yeah.
And conversely, is conversely the right word there, or accordingly, or whatever? The next thing, love your people. So pray for them, love them. And there's a few ways that you can show your love. And that is sending birthday cards, visiting them in the hospital. Shocker, that's really important. Congratulate them on major milestones in their life. Like, you know, when they're retired, when they get married, birthdays, all of that. Rejoice with them at weddings and births, and rejoice when they die. No, don't do that. Cry with them during seasons of heartache and mourning. Just love them, man. Like, these are the people God has called you to serve, and some are easier to love than others. But, and I touched on this last week, like, if you make more of a, not an offensive, but go on the offense during Pastor Appreciation Month and outdo them in showing honor and showing love and care and appreciation for them, I think you'll be surprised the dividends that will pay for you, maybe in the form of a bigger money tree. I'm just kidding. No, take the lead in loving them and leading them well. Kyle?
Yeah, and both of these things go back to something that I think I've shared on here before. Jared Wilson said, and that is, you aren't called to lead the church you wish you had. You're called to lead the church that you have. The people in your pews are your ministry. They're the people that you are called to love and to lead. Wherever they fall on this, right? If they're easy to love, if they're difficult to love, if they love you, if they can't stand your guts, like you're called to love them and lead them regardless. And so when you go to a church, you don't get to pick the people who are coming along with you, right? Unless you are planting, you inherit people in your church, and suddenly that becomes your people. And so, man, love them, pray for them. And look, it's difficult. Yes. I don't want to gloss this over, but if you are not loved well, that might mean that you have to teach your people how to love one another, how to love you. And it may take some time, but generally speaking, most of the time, people who are loved well learn how to show love in return.
I'm just laughing because the second you said that, I mean, everybody listening, including myself, thought of those that didn't matter how hard I loved them for them, shepherd them.
It's like Proverbs, right? It's just kind of a general observation about the way life general normally works.
For the most part, this works 99% of the time.
Yes.
There is that 1% that everybody remembered the moment you said that.
Yes, that's true.
But anyway, all of that said, you're in a church that either loves well, appreciates well, or doesn't, or somewhere in between. And Kyle, you had in this article some final words for the appreciated pastor and the unappreciated or even underappreciated pastor. And all of these things, sometimes people get a burr under their saddle, like, you know, pastors are really needy or want to be appreciated. Oh, like it's not so much that. This is something we've talked about before. Pastoring ministry is the only job out there that requires you to win and succeed at both home and at church.
Yeah.
And when it's constantly a battle and struggling and you're pouring your heart out and just getting it crushed every single day, it's hard to keep going.
Yeah.
And so that this is a month where we want to appreciate and encourage pastors and those that receive that from their church and those that don't. We know that's a reality. So if you are that appreciated pastor, and thank God, that's wonderful. Like, rejoice with your church, thank your church, but please be careful how you share that on social media. And I don't think that means you can't share it. I just think use some wisdom, use some tact, just be careful with how you do that. And I think that just goes with discernment, it goes with wisdom, that goes with all of those sorts of things, because you do have fellow pastors who are in very dark places in their churches or in their lives. And while you're celebrating your church, all of that, just know that there are others that are struggling. So just keep that in mind as you do. Don't not do it. Just be careful how you do it and how you go about it. And to the unappreciated pastor, Kyle, what would you say to them?
To the unappreciated pastor, I would just say, don't get downtrodden. I mean, look, there's going to be things that happen that are discouraging, right? And I don't think it's realistic to say, well, don't get discouraged, because sometimes there are things to get discouraged over. Like, I think we should be discouraged when people don't act kind, when people don't act like Jesus, when people are just downright mean. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to go, right? It's okay to be discouraged about that. But even in that, even in the difficult times, even in difficult churches, remain faithful. And here's the line that I put in this blog article. We don't serve our churches to get Starbucks gift cards or love offerings. That's not why you're in this.
That's why I do it.
If you got into ministry because you thought like the pay was going to be outstanding, I'm sorry. Like you were lied to, or you had a completely unrealistic expectation. That's not the way it works. All right. We don't do that. We serve churches because we've been called by Jesus Christ to shepherd the flock of God. That's why you pastor. That's why you serve as a youth or a music minister. That's why you love God's people, because we've he loved us first, right? And so don't give up. Keep serving, remain faithful, whether they appreciate you publicly, whether they don't appreciate you, whether you get nasty cards in the mail, like just keep serving, remain faithful, because Jesus sees that. Jesus will honor that.
That's better than what I was going to say. Suck it up, buttercup. Oh, Kyle, what's your prediction? I think I have a guess.
So, I mean, look, the Rangers have not lost a playoff game yet. So I'm going to predict that the Rangers win in six. I don't think they're going to sweep, as great as that would be. I'm not going to say that they sweep. I would love to see five. I would love to see five, because I would love to see the Rangers clinch it at home. But I will say six.
See, that's the thing that scares me with this series, is that it's probably going to have to be one for us at home. Mm. And that's usually not good. I feel like we're going to sweep. So here's the only prediction that I feel pretty confident about, is we're going to sweep in Texas. Arlington, sorry.
You're going to win all three in Arlington, is what you're saying.
We're going to win those in Arlington again. Like, it's inevitable. Not really.
Okay. If the Rangers split in Houston, I feel really good about their chances coming home. Mm-hmm. If they lose two in Houston, I mean, obviously just in a best of seven, if you're down two games, that's going to be very difficult to win. But look, here's what I'll say. I have been completely surprised by the Rangers' performance in the postseason. No, really. Okay. No, listen. They finished the season so bad. Like, all they had to do was not be terrible, and they couldn't pull that off. And then they get into the postseason and have just gone on this ridiculous run. So I'm excited. This is obviously the most excited I've been since 2011 when they made the run. Completely shocked. Did not think they would be here. And so, hey, you know what? This next week is going to be a blast. And I guess regardless, like, I'm not an Astros fan, you know that, but regardless, Texas is going to have a team in the World Series, thereby once again proving that we're better than all the other states.
Yeah, y'all scare me a little bit, like the Nationals did, that just at the literal right time got hot.
Got super hot.
Yep. So, Kyle, here's what I will say. There will be a lot of banter between you and I
absolutely.
Over the next week or so. I still love you. Mostly just tolerate you.
I'm very fond of you as well.
Yep. Have a great day. Hey, everybody, everyone. I was combining those two words there. Have a wonderful day. And may your coffee be as black as a Texas Rangers fan soul and as bold as Alex Bregman.
What's wrong with you people?